I just got into it more and more and more. I was escape from reality and stuff like that. Like, it started off fun, I guess. That's how it starts. And then I don't know, it just got a hold of me and I couldn't stop. It was destroying relationships with like good friends and stuff like that. A lot of them didn't understand what was going on with me and stuff like that. I felt, I had that thing, I thought they were banning me and stuff like that, but in hindsight, I realized it was my because of what I was doing is why friends start leaving and stuff like that. And at the time, I just didn't care. Like, I just wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted to be smashed off my head all the time to escape certain things in my life. And this came to a certain point where I realized I had to sort of deal with those things and take a bit of responsibility for some stuff. And yeah.
That threw up some mental health issues for you too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I went into a pretty mad, I would say, psychosis and stuff. I got labeled with heaps of different things. Like, they were saying I was paranoid, schizophrenic. They were saying psychotic, psychosis, freaking psychosocial in the psych wards and stuff like that. And when it first starts happening, it's a really scary thing, because you don't really know what's going on.
You spoke about the fact that your family and your friends started to distance themselves, I suppose. You started to lose those relationships.
Like, that's like, at first people try to help you and stuff like that. Then I guess to a certain point where that help just starts going away, because they've tried, it's affecting their lives and stuff, and they can't keep it. Only lasts for a certain amount of time before people start moving away and stuff like that. So at the time, I was really angry, really, pissed off and stuff like that. But once I start realizing all that stuff and this reality of it all and stuff like that, I was just like, yeah, all right, just accept the way it is and do what I have to do to, make amends or make it a bit better. And once people see that you're committed and stuff like that and you keep pushing forward and you might have a few slip ups here and there, but you take, like, there's no, what is it, there's no failure, there's only stuff to learn from, you know what I mean? So
So where was the turning point? Because you've described a pretty desperate situation. How on earth did you pull yourself out of that?
I had a help from a few mates, because like in that scene, when you got weed, stuff like that, a lot of people are your mates. I only had a handful of really good mates. I've had a few of them in that scene who really understood what was going on. They told me I had to just disconnect from everyone, totally cut everyone off, and just from like and just not be involved with it anymore. And they're the mates that are really they're the ones I knew that cared about me and understood. And yeah, I left behind all me possessions, me car, me drum kit and stuff like that. But it came to a point where I was like, all right, at the moment I don't need that stuff. I need to get my life back on track and, just start fresh. And me letting go of all that stuff was sort of like letting go of all the past, all my baggage and stuff like that. So I'll just start again.
Where had you been living at
A
that
lot of
point?
places, it's hard to really.
You'd basically been jumping
Yeah,
from couch
I
to couch.
do. I used to hang. I hanged around a lot of different groups. I guess after a lot of hard words, it eventually sunk in with me. I just knew I had to go out on my own and just do it all by myself, and not rely on anyone, just rely on myself and just get it done. And I knew the service as well and stuff, and I knew if I stuck to it and used those services with all the support and stuff, like people would realize you can use those services and stuff, they're there to support you, but you got to do the work yourself. Like,
So is that the difference? Because you'd obviously been accessing what sort of services during that period?
rehab facilities, mental health facilities, rural housing stepped in for me near the end there. which was really good of him.
But it wasn't until you really said, right, I'm willing to sever the ties and leave that past behind.
Yeah, I think with those services, once, like, they see a lot of people come through and stuff, but once they see someone really having a good crack at it and really committing to it and trying to make good changes and stuff like that, they'll really start, you know, trying to help you out a bit more. It's sort of, you also start thinking, oh, I'm the only one going through this. Like, that's a common thing that people start thinking. That was back in the early days, I was thinking that, like, but, you know, I realise there's probably people in a lot worse situations than me too. So that's one thing that kept me going.
We're hearing the story of Jeff from Wodonga as part of Anti-Poverty Week. He's been to rock bottom and back, and we are hearing the positive end to this pretty tough story on ABC Goulburn Murray Mornings. So you didn't have any possessions. You had no bed, no home, no job, very few friends and family. That those relationships had become really fraught.
Yeah.
What happened? Where did you go, and what happened next?
After I left everything behind and stuff like that, I caught up with an old muso mate that I used to jam with and stuff. He's a bit older than me. He's got a family. I didn't know if he was gonna let me stay there or whatever. But you know, luckily for me, he's a really good bloke, and his family were kind enough to take me in. This for a couple of weeks until I got into a detox facility and into rehab and sort of. And I felt because he did that too, I was sort of like, all right, I can't screw this up this time, because this could be my very last chance. And if I go back to my old ways after this, I might have actually nothing, like no one to sort of turn to or anything, you know. So, so I was just like, the determination and commitment I had and stuff, and how much I wanted what I wanted, sort of got me through, so.
So you went through detox.
Yeah.
I've heard people talk before about, you know, separating yourself from the old scene, where the drugs were and all the associated people is fairly critical.
Yeah.
But if you're not able to quickly move into housing, to some support, all the rest, when you have that gap after you come out of rehab, that's really the danger zone.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. How did you get through the danger zone, Jeff?
Danger zone. I feel like I'm in Top Gun. I was just enforcing my boundaries, making sure I was new, not to go to certain places, to keep away.
Tell me how you came to connect with rural housing, because they were responsible for helping get a roof over your head.
That's one of the reasons why I'm actually doing this stuff, and because I feel like, at least I owe them that, and because what they've done for me is great. Giving me this place, like this, to actually get back up on my feet, the security, you know, that's probably the most important things, the security, this to be able to do what you need to do.
Listening in to this conversation is the Rural Housing Network Service Development Manager, Laura Simpson. And that program that Jeff was able to connect with is under your wings, your banner. Tell me about how you step in and help people like Jeff have that housing stability.
Well, originally, Jeff came to us through a program called Housing First, and it's really a housing model where you have someone who has none of their own housing and may have been in a really bad place with their mental health. And if you put them in a house and wrap services around them, then they're more likely to succeed. And it's really popular in the US. So we had a pilot here. The property that we had available was in Wangaratta, and that sort of went on from Housing First to one called A Place to Call Home. And it's a transitional housing property, so it comes furnished and it comes with support. So the tenancy worker that comes and sees you once a week or once a fortnight, just to make sure things are going okay. And it's really about making sure you can turn a house into a home and get those living skills, get your rental reference, make connections, and move on with your life and not come back to us again. So that's what we were able to do with Jeff. He came into our property, had a support worker who would come around, make sure things were going okay, and really any case plan or goals are set by Is it by the person who's living there? It's about what they want to do and what they want to achieve. And Jeff's achieved so much since coming to work with us, certainly. So we were able to do that. Then he's managed to transfer back home, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you want, isn't it?
That's right.
So how is it that a bed and a roof and a secure place, a home, can have such a profound impact on addressing so many other challenges in someone's life?
You know, as Jeff has said, you know, you need to be in the right headspace and have the right will to make a change. And to be in that space, you need to be safe and secure, physically safe, as well as having a sense of security about where you are, where your home is. You can cook your own meals. There's a place where you can keep your belongings. And so it's like a launch pad to the rest of your life. If you don't have somewhere safe, secure to stay, where you're comfortable, where you can have friends over, you can put down roots. If you don't have those things, it's very hard to work on anything else. That's why a home's so important.
How in need of more spaces like that are we across our region?
Well, look, we always have a far greater demand than we can supply. And there's a range of accommodation that people need at certain times, from crisis accommodation, which is a few nights, to that transitional housing space where people need 3 to 6 months or 12 months just to get back on their feet and actually make an informed decision or choice about where to next. And then, of course, there's long-term affordable housing, and we provide all of those services.
Mm. What sort of turnarounds do you see in people's lives?
We see a range of turnarounds, and it really depends on, you know, no two examples are the same, no two people are the same. We've seen people who have, for example, one partner's lost a job, the other one's got sick. All of a sudden, they're now surviving on a much reduced income. They've got kids. And the private rental, they're behind their rent, they get evicted. All of a sudden, if they haven't got family to go to, where do they go for support? And so we've had a family come in, and they're only with us for 6 months in transitional housing, just while the partner recovered, got a new job. All of a sudden, they're back out in private rental and things are back on track. So we see lots of really good success stories like that, where people have things that they didn't expect to happen. People from all walks of life, but often from very normal backgrounds, as Jeff has explained. You know, you grew up in Wodonga with brothers and sisters, you know, things are normal. And then something happens that changes the way things are for everybody. So, you know, lots of success stories about people who just need time and space and security to plan and to set goals for themselves and actually see those goals get met.
Mm. And when you hear stories like that, you think we are all this close, aren't we, to the potential for those things to happen to us, many of us.
That's right. And we see lots of people. We've seen a few older people who have gone guarantor on their children's business or mortgage or that sort of thing. That's gone south. All of a sudden, their kids have their own kids. There's no space for them. They're sleeping on couches in caravans in sheds. Trying to get a private rental on the pension's not really easy. One of them may be sick. All of a sudden, they've gone from being homeowners to looking for somewhere to stay. And, you know, 3 or 4 paychecks, if you miss out, that lose your job or something like that happens, you can soon find yourself behind in your rent. And if you get a bad rental reference or you've got no one to lean on, or you've leaned on them too much already, you soon can find yourself with nowhere to live.
Yeah. Jeff, how are things different now? You're back home. What's life like now?
It's awesome. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm back into my music and stuff. I'm back into my fitness, really. Like, it's just, I'm just going harder and harder into it.
Are you working?
Yes, I'm working. I'm currently working at a place called Life Without Barriers.
You've got a secure place to call home. You've got a job. You've got your passions back, you know, fitness and your music.
Mm.
How does it feel to be back in the world?
It's good.
Yeah.
In the land of the living. even though I do the graveyard shift every now and then. But, it's good. And because I spent, 6-8 years of my life, even more than that, this wasted away doing what I was doing, it's given me like an unbelievable amount of drive to really push on and get into what I always wanted to do. So the thing that I've really come to realize, everything I've been through, like something a mate sort of said to me a while ago, everything I've been through has sort of made me who I am today, and because of it, I'm a lot stronger. So if I hadn't been through all that stuff, I wouldn't. Like, I'll be honest, some people don't survive it. You know, like, there's a lot of suicide going around and stuff like that. Like, I've known a lot of people who've committed suicide and stuff, and yeah, it's sad.
Laura, how do we get more happy endings to stories like Jeff's?
I think, you know, part of the good outcome that Jeff was able to get for himself was that services work together, and that's something, and the community work together. So it's no one person's barrier to push. It's, you know, got a dedicated person who's committed, but people have to work together and be flexible and come up with flexible arrangements. So it's definitely a community approach to get that. Of course, we always need more housing. You know, we're got a new program that is focused on keeping people in private rental so they don't come into the homelessness sector or don't face housing crisis. That's been really successful. We've managed to save, out of 700 tenancies, only 4 evictions went through in the last 12 months. So we're really proud of that. That's funded through the Victorian Homelessness Action Plan funding. But, you know, keeping people in their homes so they're not in crisis in the first place is certainly the best way to go.
Yeah, well, congratulations to both of you. Jeff, for your very inspiring story and your strength.
Yep.
Congratulations, and all the best with what the future holds for you. And to Laura and the amazing work that you and your team do as well, turning lives around. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks.